Hi, this is Pastor Seth.
And I'm Pastor Rhonda.
And you're listening to Real Church, Real People. Welcome back to Real Church, Real People. This is podcast number 2. We're going to be talking about identity this podcast. We're so glad that you are joining along with us. And we're just excited about this and where this is leading. This is a podcast where we desire to journey and live life together, to live life with you through scriptures, through stories, encouragement. And we're so glad that you are joining along with us. And I am here with Rhonda. And Rhonda, how has your week been?
It has been great. It's actually been very busy. I was in Nashville over the weekend at Write About Jesus. It's a songwriting conference, and I came back with my brain feeling a little mushy, just so much information to take in all at once. But it's a good kind of tired. What about you?
Yeah, my week has been just crazy. Seems like it's nonstop, and especially with youth ministry kind of going on right now, there's just so many sports activities and band and football activities to go to, and so that definitely keeps me busy.
Right.
Then on top of that, we've had some sickness in our family this week, and so that always just, you know, causes a lot of fun. You know, we have two kids, and they're small, and they're just now kind of entering into school. They come home with all kind of fun stuff. And so, that's just been kind of going around the house, but we've been coping.
Yeah. So you have to get up in the middle of the night and tend to babies and sleep deprived and all that good stuff.
Just kind of go back almost to the baby stage. My wife and I talk about where it's like you're up every almost 3 hours sometimes with them. And, we never try to wish away anything. You know,
right.
We always just try to take everything as it comes and try to be appreciative for everything that happens. But sometimes that is hard, definitely in the middle of the night when you got to get up.
Oh, absolutely. My daughter's been going through the same thing. Kind of reminds me of what this month is about. November is Caregivers Appreciation Month. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Can you imagine how hard it would be to take care of a loved one 24/7 without a break? And there's so many people that I know that are doing that are taking care of parents and loved ones. And our hats are off to you. And
for sure.
Just want to tell you, thank you. We see you. We know that you are working hard.
Yeah, it's such a thankless job that so many times. I know my grandmother right now has some caretakers and people are coming in, especially like with hospice and some of those things as well. And such a thankless job, but we definitely appreciate you guys. We love you guys. We see you. And if there's anything we can ever do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us,
because
we want to be whatever kind of support we can be in any way.
This week's reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 20, verses 34 through 39. Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. In the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well," for they are no longer dared to ask him another question. I love this passage because there are several things that jump off the page to me, and it's that phrase, "children of the resurrection."
So good.
And I also love that he is not God of the dead. I'm so thankful that our God is alive. This is what sets Christianity apart from any other religion. Our God is alive and he is well. And we know that when we place our faith in him, that we live. He is a God of the living, not the dead. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a fascinating reality and truth that we really should be living into. Because, it's as children of the resurrection, we live for something more. The world, they live just kind of in their hodgepodge, journeying towards whatever they're journeying towards, whatever goals they may have. But ultimately, that's not real fulfillment within life. That we, as we live life, we believe in this power of resurrection. And this power of resurrection and the love that we see within the resurrection, man, that it calls us to live life differently right now. That we can live life abundantly. We can live life to the fullest because we have a Savior who is alive. He's not dead. We serve a living God.
Amen.
And so it's so important for us to realize realize that, you know, Jesus was ushering in this kingdom now. And really, as we are journeying towards Advent, which is kind of electionary, Advent is essentially the season that leads up to Christmas, where we are anticipating the coming of the King. Man, it is this anticipation of, man, his kingdom is coming. Well, Jesus ushered in this kingdom. And so the call for us, man, is to do something now, to live life now. Mm-hmm. And God is alive, and his kingdom is moving. Now, I heard a quote on Facebook from a guy named Rob McCorkle, and it says this: I am not waiting to die and go somewhere to a superior kingdom, but living now in a superior kingdom that is going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful that we have a hope for the future. But sometimes we don't live as though we have a hope for today. Right. We are so worried about maybe what is out there. But the God is the God of today. He's living today. And the call for us as children of the resurrection is to live into that life.
Right. Into abundance, into victory. But, you know, so many of us never tap into that abundant kind of living. Mm. And, you know, and it's unfortunate because, as we've talked before, it's almost like going to a steakhouse and ordering a hot dog, yeah, or a little hamburger, a little crystal, mm-hmm. or something like that. When God has so much in store for us, and we just settle, and we find ourselves in that state, I think, because we're trying to keep up with other people. Mm-hmm. We're comparing ourselves to them. A lot of times it's guilt, it's shame. We get focused on like relationships and other things, and we just don't have a good self-worth. We just never tap into that fullness of life, that victorious, abundant life that's promised to us.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and it really, a lot of those things stem back to this idea of identity. And what are we going to find our identity in? Maybe the bigger question for us as followers of Jesus is, whose are we going to find, or who are we going to find our identity in? And so identity really becomes a big role within that, that if we are worried about our identity and maybe what we look like to others, then we are going to do those things of trying to keep up with the Joneses. Right. If we're worried about what others may think of us because we're single, well, then we're going to find our identity in finding relationships. And so what are we going to find our identity in? And I believe Scripture so many times talks about this. And is very concerned about this mentality of identity. And really, that leads into a really great story. It's an awesome story that I love, and comes from the Old Testament. It's actually the story of Jacob. And Jacob was known as this deceiver.
Right.
And even really from the birth, kind of his hand came out first, and then his hand went back in, and then Esau was born first. And then he was grabbing the heel of Esau. Right. So he was known as this heel grabber, kind of this one who pinches kind of at the heels, almost like a little dog. And it's just, that's kind of the mentality of Scripture and what it's essentially saying. And his relationship was very, very interesting that we see as a whole. Scripture says that Esau was a man of the field. He went and hunted. He did all those things. He was loved by his dad, Isaac. So Jacob was not that kind of man. He was a man who was essentially more comfortable actually in the kitchen, really a mama's boy. And Scripture actually points to that.
Right.
Because his mother loved Jacob and his father loved Esau. And so we see that very, very much. And so we see this deceiver and trickster really be kind of come out within him. And so he has this birthright moment with his brother, right? Where his brother sells him his birthright. Well, the birthright was, once again, that ability to be able to get the heir and all that, that would be bestowed upon the firstborn. And so here we see Jacob has this moment where he steals his birthright from Esau. He's trying to be something or someone that he is not. And then we have this moment where he goes and he dresses up like Esau, and this is great story and fantastic, but he goes in and he tricks his father. And so once again, he's being this deceiver. He's playing this part, and he's not really comfortable with the reality of who he is. Well, obviously that makes his brother upset, and he runs away. Then we have this whole outline and story with his father-in-law that happens, especially with his wife's, that he wanted to marry Rachel, and instead his father-in-law gave him Leah, and there's this trickster part, almost where he becomes the one who gets tricked. But then he tricks his father-in-law into receiving a lot of great wealth. And so there's this all of this life of deception, of tricking, of deceiving, of trying to be someone other than Jacob.
That was his character. You could characterize him as saying he was a trickster.
Yes, absolutely. And then he has this moment. And there's just, once again, just a great story, beautiful story, where he wrestles with this guy. And we obviously know it to be God. Mm-hmm. And they're wrestling and wrestling, and there's this mentality that they're just in this headlock, and Jacob won't let go, and God won't let go. And it comes to this point, and God asks him, hey, what is your name? And he's been on the run all this time, hasn't seen mom, hasn't seen dad, gone through this whole 14 years of serving his father-in-law and all of this. And he's coming back to a point where he's actually going to be meeting Esau. And God says, hey, what is your name? And the one who had been trying for so long to be somebody else, he finally comes to the place. He finally is comfortable enough within who he is. He says, my name is Jacob. Such an awesome moment, you know, that he's done playing the games. He's done trying to be somebody who he's not really is. And he says, hey, my name is Jacob. And almost in that moment, it's really kind of ironic and it's kind of funny. God says, all right, now that you are comfortable with who you are, now that you're comfortable with being Jacob, man, I am going to give you actually a new identity, a bigger identity, a broader identity. And so he says, now you can be who I have created you to be, which is going to be the father who is going to continue to allow all my nation to continue from you. And he actually changes his name. Isn't that kind of funny?
That is cool.
That's kind of funny because, you know, as soon as we get comfortable, you know, with that reality, and as soon as Jacob gets that, he says, hey, you are no longer going to be Jacob, but you now will be called Israel.
He owned it. He owned who he was. He embraced. And sometimes I think I know we all struggle with identity of just owning who we really are. Mm-hmm. Don't you think we all struggle with that?
For sure. Yeah. On a very, very deep. And like I said, that leads us to places, if we're not very careful, that essentially lead us away from where God desires for us to be or who God desires for us to be. Mm-hmm. And it leads us after these things that ultimately don't bring life, that don't allow us to be children of the resurrection and live life to the fullest, but it forces things that are very oppressive to us, things that actually cause death, whether it be, once again, debt, addiction, all of those things, shame, guilt. It really begins to kind of push us away from those realities as opposed to being able to allow God to use us in the way that he desires for us to be used.
Right. And he would know because he created us. He created all of us with a purpose. Scripture says that he created us to bear his image, to reflect his glory. And he has plans for us that, you know, a mission that only we can fulfill. Mm-hmm. And when we have our eyes on everyone else, we can't possibly do the things that God has called us to do. We have to be secure in the fact that we are chosen by God and we are adopted and we are redeemed and we are loved, and there's nothing we could ever do to earn that love. We are loved just because we are the object of his love and he delights in us. And I think some of us struggle with the fact that God is for us and that he likes us. We can kind of understand, well, maybe God loves me, but does he like me? But we are his delight, and he has good things in store for us, but we have to get to the place that we can quit chasing every other identity and finding our identity in our marriage or our job. Some of us really struggle with, you know, our jobs and, you know, even if it's motherhood and, you know, we have to have our identity in him and in him alone, you know, period. Put the period there because it's got to stop there. We have to know who we are in Christ, and then everything else seems to fall in place, but we have to have that first.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it really reminds me of even Paul in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a passage that we often like to take and we turn it and twist it into something that's maybe more advantageous for us. And we got to be really careful when we do that for scripture, because Philippians 4:13 is a passage that everyone loves to quote. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But as you begin to look at the context of what he is really talking about there, I don't know if we would quote it probably as much as we do when you really begin to look at the context, because Paul's in prison, right? Mm. The way that we utilize it would essentially would be saying, well, Paul can do all things through Christ. So if Paul wants to get out of prison, you know, Paul can get out of prison because, hey, we can do all things through Christ. But that's not what Paul meant at all. It's not this mentality of, well, just if we believe enough, then God's going to do what we want to do, and it's going to be perfect and life's going to be perfect. No, Paul is essentially writing before this. He's saying, hey, it doesn't matter where I'm at in life and what's happening in life. I can be content in life because I am a child of the resurrection. I am a child of the living, and I'm going to live that resurrection right now. So it doesn't matter if I'm in prison. I'm going to be content in life. It doesn't matter if I'm out walking the streets and able to preach the message on a daily basis and go house to house and be with friends. It doesn't matter if that's reality. I'm still going to be content in life. And the only way that is possible is because Christ has done something within me, and I am a child of the resurrection. Right. I am a child of the living God. And so Paul's identity is very much found in this child of resurrection, this God of the living God, that we serve the living God.
Right.
And we can be content no matter what life throws our way, and we can continue to find our identity in Christ no matter what, because we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength.
Right. I love the example of Paul. And I think about 2 Timothy chapter 4, where he's really talking about the end of his life, you know, and he's getting to the end of it. And he's not talking about his execution, and he's not using the word death, but he uses the word departure as like this unloosing, you know, of a ship, you know, to sail away. And he's already talked to Timothy, and he's told Timothy, as for you, complete your ministry. He didn't say go complete everybody's, go, you know, do everything, but he was very sure to point, do your ministry, do the things. In other words, be who you are, be who God called you to be. And then he said, as for me, and then he started talking about the end of his life that was coming. But again, it was this picture of he was secure in who he was, in who his call, what his call was. Mm-hmm. And he knew that he was to live that out and not compare himself to anyone else. And it meant that he was going to die. I mean, he knew that. Right. I have fought the good fight. I have, you know, done all these things. And then he doesn't complain that this is going to happen to me. He doesn't even use the word death.
Yeah.
But it's because if you read later on in chapter 4, he talks about that crown of righteousness that's to come. He knows it's going to come. And that's even a lot of faith for him to know that God's going to restore the head back on his shoulders to put that crown on. But he knew he was a child of resurrection. And he knew that he was serving a living God. And he knew that he could tap into living victoriously for now and victoriously for later. And that is available to all of us. That's not just Paul. It's not this character in the Bible. But we can all tap into that. And that is just being secure in who we are in him. Who we are in Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. And so our encouragement for you today is we hope that you realize that you are amazing and you are beautiful, and God has a purpose and plan for you. And you don't have to live trying to be something or someone else.
Amen.
God desires to use you. And it's only when we let go of all of these other things that bring death, that bring anything but life, they bring oppression, they bring all those things. It's only when we begin to let go of these things that God can really change us and shape us into who he desires for us to be. God can give me, he can give you a new identity.
Absolutely. And I'm wanting to say amen. Yes, yes, yes. Well, thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. And this is a ministry of Battlefield Parkway Church of the Nazarene. And if you need a church home, please visit us. We are at 3220 Battlefield Parkway in Fort Oglethorpe.
Yeah. And you can connect with us on social media. We are at Real Church, Real People Podcast on Facebook. If you want to reach us by email, if you have prayer requests or just have comments, concerns, or you have your own stories that you would like to share with us, you can reach out to us at realchurchrealpeople@gmail.com. We love you all. Grace and peace. Bye-bye.